the sandwich.
Is it live?
Live if you have an antenna that's plugged in. Do you not have an antenna to watch the footy?
No, what's
the watch going KO, yeah. Yeah. I only got an antenna for when we had everyone over on grand final day.
That was the whole
I
reason.
Had to go to JB Hi-Fi that morning. One day, because I was like, oh, we're going to watch TV. And then Meg didn't think about it. And she's like, yeah, we'll chuck it on. And I'm like, no, we don't have that.
It's impossible to watch it.
Yeah.
They're saying there's no alternatives. The only option was for you to go and get an antenna. Are you sure? Did you exhaust all options and antenna was the only thing left?
No, because you need a physical antenna that attaches you to your property.
Oh.
Like, sorry, to your antenna.
Hey, guys, for those joining in on this conversation midway through, because I hit record after Luke started talking, and I think this is a pretty funny way to start an episode of the pod, Luke is going to be on the project tonight.
Last night. Blake was genuinely asking how he could watch the television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, how would I tune into free-to-air TV?
No, I think that's reasonable. I wouldn't have known either.
But no, it is like a physical cord that plugs in, right? I mean, that's my understanding of it. It's a cable.
The antenna, you mean?
Yeah, it plugs into your antenna that's on your roof.
Yeah, I would say so.
And then I had to hit the thing, like I had to tune my TV and like it scans for the channels.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, it does the scanning thing.
It's
again,
like a radio with pitches.
Man, I honestly haven't used free-to-air TV probably since 2012 or 11.
Nah, the only time I do is when I just go back to Cairo and maybe Dad's got the football on. That's it.
Yeah.
Rare experience.
Occasionally Dad will chuck an iView when I'm over and we'll have a browse of that.
Yeah, but iViews, that's digital, is it not?
I'll watch Costa, Gardening Australia.
Yeah, that's ABC Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah. So they get
it. So can I watch it on 10play live or do I have to wait till the show's over for them to upload it?
I don't know the answer to that question. I assume you can watch TV on the internet. If they haven't figured that out.
I think there's a there's got to be a stream somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like you got to like bootleg free-to-air TV.
Do you know what would be really funny?
Reddit project streams.
Do you know what would be super funny? If something crazy happens tonight while you're on the project and then like this comes out the day after that happens. And
everyone already knows?
Does everyone know something
everyone
crazy?
Everyone already knows and that I showed Wiley my butthole.
Yeah. Luke drops brown eye on the project and we're talking like, I wonder how we can watch it tonight.
But now that I've said that, it looks like I planned it. And it's going to be hard now after this episode to justify to the Daily Mail that it was spontaneous and I felt right in the moment.
Can we right now like choreograph a mental breakdown for you to pull on the project tonight? So then it looks like when you're on there, everyone's like, holy fuck, he's having a mental breakdown. But then this comes out and we go, nah, we gotcha.
Well, this is actually not my TV debut.
It's not? When have you been on TV before?
2004. What? I was 8 years old. Footy. The AFL halftime, they used to cut to the Oz kickers who were playing in the middle of the ground at halftime. And I was kicking the ball, right foot, tongue out, maximum concentration. And Are You Gonna Be My Girl, which was probably number one at the time, by Jet was playing in the background.
Damn, that is your origin story.
Yeah. So if tonight on the project is anything close to as electric as that.
Holy.
It's going to be great to be back in showbiz.
I kind of want to, can you kind of maybe, can you redo that? You know how like there's soft reboots of like famous movies, they have like a shot that's like, oh, that's like the original.
Yeah.
Can you maybe just do a, can you sneak that in?
So I'm like.
Tongue out and like a kick motion of some kind? Well, you can't, you'll be sitting down.
I should ask them, can we cut to commercial like from after my segment of me kicking a footy into the audience? By the way, I've sorted what I'm wearing.
You've got. Have you got a stylist at the studio?
You wearing that?
No.
Are you not?
Oh, no, man. I'm wearing, you know, because like I'm a good friend, aren't I?
Did you have to request it from?
I would say historically, you've been a pretty good friend.
Yeah.
You've
had your moments.
Yeah.
But
over time, like I've done generous things to you boys.
Yeah.
I would say so, yeah. Is this an outfit you've had to ask Channel 7 or 10 or whoever to provide for
you? I will not be asking permission. I will turn up in it.
Oh, you're going to turn up in it? Oh, and so you've really put it together yourself.
And if they say you can't wear that, I'm going to say, well, it's this or the brown eye. It's
like, so Cotton On or Garner's about to get a real good push on the project. No. Not neither of them.
No, my favorite clothing line.
Favorite clothing line? Okay. Well, I just named two of them. So
are you about to take this WrestleMania 40 hoodie off the back of me? Because I would give it to you.
No, dude, my favorite music artist, Blankface, has just dropped merch.
Oh!
And tonight, it's going to get its first mainstream media push.
Thank heavens, dude. I've got two mediums left and I need them gone.
I know. I knew you had two mediums left and I was like, you know what's going to get this over the line? My mum and dad, who will be watching the project, they might buy one if they see it on the TV.
Fuck yeah.
A bit of a...
Because that's how boomer marketing works. They see it on the telly and they go spend their hard-earned cash on it.
Subconscious in their brain.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, true.
So you've only got two mediums left.
That's it, man. Yeah, I did a stealth upload. Most of the friends and family snapped them up. I'm not going to lie.
Dude, tens and tens of Australians are going to be seeing me tonight on television. I'd order more now.
I'm getting the printing studio on the line. I'm printing another six.
You're going to have to change it to pre-order only.
I might have to.
What size went first?
Extra large.
Ooh, blank faces. Big boys.
Muscly. Yeah, that's right.
You tell got you a big bone fan base.
Yeah, exactly. Tell you what's not blank. They're stomach linings.
They're plates, not blank.
Yeah. You know what is blank, though? Their knowledge of nutrition.
Yes, exactly right. Yes.
Not much going on there.
Do you know what's not blank? Their faces, because they're stuffing them with
food. Hang on, Frenchie's calling me. Should I pick it up?
Yeah, definitely.
He hasn't called me in months. Oh, I've missed it.
You missed it. No, call him back. That's rude.
Well, he didn't invite me to his wedding, so maybe we should bring that up.
Dude, did he call you then and instantly put his phone on airplane mode to send you a message?
No, Frenchie's an old man. He's probably leaving me a message.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe we come back to it and listen to it.
Or he's been rushed back into the nursing home. Yeah. They've caught him sneaking out again.
Yeah. He doesn't know where he is. Man, that's amazing.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, mate, you're on the podcast. Welcome to BLT.
Oh, no way. I called him guest.
Yeah. Spontaneous guest.
That's fucking sick. I'm here in Uber, so I can't be as weird as I'd like to be right now.
Oh, that's right. How was your wedding?
Oh, yeah, it was pretty good. I got it done.
You looked really nice.
Thanks, man. The wife made me shave off my moustache.
Oh, I've never seen you dress up for anything. And you didn't even wear your Pikachu necklace.
Oh, that was on. That was on underneath. I had that.
It's like your Superman transition.
Yeah, cool. Dragon Ball Z socks.
Yeah, nice. Okay, so you still looked very dapper.
I just had to do it subtler. How's the pod going?
It's good. We were just tonight. I'm making my big comeback to television. So we're talking about that.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, I'll leave you to it. I was just ringing just for some dirty talk. So I don't really want to do it in.
Oh, that's cool.
Some dirty talk.
No, that's cool. We'll do that. We'll do our regular scheduled horniness off camera.
I'm gonna be down Melbourne next week. That's mostly what I was ringing about.
Ooh, okay. Are you doing shows? To it.
Yeah, so I'll see if I. And I was actually going to message Pavey too, so that works out well.
Oh, hey, mate. Well, I'm here so it'll be good to see ya.
Thanks, bro.
And were you going to message me too, Frenchie, or what's the deal?
No, I was going to say I didn't want Tyler to know I was going.
Killing myself.
All right, I will see you soon. Congratulations on tying the knot.
Oh, thanks, man. It was not that difficult. Anyone can actually do it. I thought it was more difficult.
Nah, you got to sign a bit of paper. It seems exhausting, to be honest.
Oh, it was. It flooded the night before too, and then my missus put our car into a river.
What?
Wait. Your wedding venue flooded?
Yeah, the whole Wollongong did. It was like this massive, hectic flood. You can look it up. It's a real thing on the weekend of the 5th and the 6th.
Don't doubt that.
Least destroyed Frenchie venue.
She was trying to drive through some water, and she didn't realise it was a bridge, not a road, like a little one, and she just drove into a little river.
What? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Did she survive?
Yeah, she was fine. The car's fucked, though, so we're still waiting.
You spent your honeymoon at the mechanics, did you?
Pretty much. We had to tow in on the night before. You're like,
we were going to go to Hamilton Island, but sorry, babe, we're going to super cheap order.
Yeah,
wanted to go to Lismore for your honeymoon, but then you were like, no, let's bring Lismore to home.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sorry that happened.
No, that was all good. It's pretty funny, man. It's good to drive a car into a river. It's a good metaphor for marriage, to be honest. The floods and the ruining of cars. Yeah. And then buying a new, more expensive car.
It's not a great omen going forward, but I hope hope it pans out well.
Yeah, she'll be right. She'll be right. It's all good.
Yeah, well, mate, you know what they say, 50% of marriages end in divorce and the other 50% start with a drowning car. So,
and I'm a gambler, so they're very good odds for me. I usually play the pokies, which are much worse odds. Yeah. Anyway, well, congrats. Thanks for having me on the podcast. I'm not sure if I win anything for being the caller in, but we'll get to that later. I'll talk to you off air.
All good. All right. Bye.
God, always great to hear from Mr. French.
I'd love to be that Uber driver.
Picking up Frenchie's wife from the car crash?
No, just being in that conversation then, just having to listen to that.
Oh, because he's in an Uber.
Yeah.
Oh.
Was he in an Uber then?
Yes, what he said.
Did he say that?
Yeah, it's why he said he can't talk as dirty.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
I thought it's because he was on record on a podcast.
No.
Oh, no, he was worried about getting judgment on his end.
Yeah.
Good to know his barometer for embarrassment.
Oh, yeah, he's like, thousands of people can hear our dirty chat, but not the bloke.
It's limited to his immediate physical vicinity. That's awesome.
Okay.
Classic Frenchie. I don't remember what we were talking about. Are you being on the project?
Oh yeah.
I'm wearing
blank face merch, and I was telling you to reorder.
Oh, dude, I'm going to have to reorder after that. That's awesome. Is there a chance? Oh, do you reckon Pete will be there?
No, mate. I don't know if you've seen. No.
Oh.
They all quit about a year
ago. It does make sense for your timeline. If the last time you watched free to air television was 2012, that was prime Pete Helly.
I was
going to
say.
Project.
What about Charlie?
Mate, Charlie hasn't been on that show in over a decade. Which is, again, the last
well,
time
who is
you,
on it, man?
Waleed.
He's still there.
All right. Well, can you take your shirt off and put the blank face shirt on Waleed?
Steve Price might be on there.
So definitely don't put the shirt on Steve. I don't want that sort of press.
No, it's a bunch of they're a bunch of media personalities.
Yeah, I'll just edit this out. That's all good, man. Don't worry.
No. If we cut back in now, I said really good things. And I'm very grateful and I'm looking forward to it. What is funny is because, look, it's not a thing that... Oh, I'm going on to promote the show I'm doing for the Tourette's Association of Australia.
You're a based king, man.
I'm not really going on to promote myself. But then, I thought we were just kind of talk about the Tourette's thing the whole time.
Yeah.
But then I did a call with the producer today and they're like, she's like, any other funny stories? And I was like, oh, my mate just put merch on sale. Like, what do you want?
Did you actually say that?
Yeah.
Let's go. Dude. Now,
I don't really know if she really dived on that idea. But
man, the primetime spot on Channel 10 or whatever channel it's on.
See, I'll try and get a little mention in there.
Dude, please. Yeah, please get the plug in. There's two shirts left. You can wear them to Blank Face May 9 at the Old Bar Melbourne. Again, Lukey, your last chance to practice. I just want to throw that out there one more time, reinstate it.
And as I've said, my calendar is free. Well, it was free. Now I've got penciled in shred o'clock.
Okay. good lad.
Are you going to have to be, if you're promoting the Tourette's thing tonight, are you going to have to be serious, Luke, for at least 30 seconds?
I do have to, yes, because I don't know how much I should be revealing about this whole process, but I originally wanted someone from the Tourette's Association on with me because I did not want to speak on behalf of people who have Tourette's because I do not have it.
Yeah.
I'm not an ambassador. I'm just a guy who find funny sometimes.
Just meet in the middle.
That's all right, mate. Fucking, I'm a cystic fibrosis ambassador. That doesn't mean I have it. I still speak for them.
Yeah.
Nobody's had a problem with it thus far.
But imagine if I went on the project and was like, oh yeah, I know a guy named Blake who finds me funny. So here's my thoughts on CF.
Yeah.
It's pretty much that.
Yeah, but why don't you
Mate, one, you'd be lying because of your knowledge of CF. One, you said, my mate Blake finds me funny. So
why don't you just meet in the middle and just swear heaps?
Well, yeah, and then I asked to have them on. They were from Brisbane, so they weren't keen on that, but I also think they were worried because it's live. The guy's tick.
What is it? Yeah, what is it?
Oh, I can't say it.
No, don't say the word, but give me the genre.
I think you told me about this.
Starts with F, rhymes with maggot.
Oh.
No, it's the so
fuck Bob Saget.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's it.
And you know what, that sort of, you got to respect.
I don't want to speak
bit.
Ill of the dead. Yeah, on exactly. Channel 10.
Yeah, great call.
I think you should sign off Because obviously Waleed or Sarah Harris is going to go, and you can get your tickets at blahblahblah.com for the Tourette's Association, blah, and you just look directly into the camera and just go, make sure to tick it off your bucket list, and then go, you cunts, and then it'll cut.
Yeah.
I wonder what happens if you do swear, because I assume it's on a delay.
Yeah, that it would have to. Live shows are all on like at least a 10
second
delay.
I mean, where I used to do radio, it was, but man, I don't know. As I said, this is my second ever appearance. True. And the first time was unconsensual and I didn't realize I was being filmed. Lucky I was crushing it.
You're on your A game at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you see how the inner workings of the place works before you go dropping any C-bombs, I would recommend.
Yeah.
That's going to be a great night, man. I can't wait to watch it and review the footage tomorrow. Before we move ahead, boys, there's something we forgot to do last week that we're supposed to do every week. So I think we should just rip it now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't do it last week.
Oh, okay.
Did we not do the intros?
No.
So people just had no idea who they were listening to.
Last week could be cold ones for all we know.
Oh, right. People probably thought they were listening like Tony and Ryan or the Inspired and Employed or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, let's just rectify. My name is Blake and I am the Ballarat this Friday. Please get your tickets at blakepaper.com of BLT.
Good.
I thought I'd never really promote shit on here, so I better do it now. Yeah.
Neither of us promote thing. I just announced a Canadian tour today, and we did 10 minutes on my 6-minute Channel 10 slot tonight.
Yeah. Shows how desperate I am for any piece of acknowledgement, though. I'm fucking constantly plugging stuff on this platform. It's awesome.
Yeah. I also announced a show in New York. Oh, I'm the let's freaking go. I'm coming to New York City on October something of BLT.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm the LukeKugel.com. Get your tickets.
Yep. My name is Tyler. I'm the T in BLT, which stands for tea, like sipping and tea.
That's good.
Not promoting anything, just that's what I am. Just a T word.
Okay. Well, T doesn't stand for tea. T just
does.
Tea.
No, T-E-A. T-E-A is a tea.
Oh, okay.
Sip. Sorry. Tea. Hot cup of tea. Yeah.
Speaking of, boys, have we got any tea to spill this week?
No, that's why I wiped it off the board, you dumb fuck.
Tries to smoothly segue into a segment that we all had a conversation about not doing.
What are you talking about? We had a big week.
Do you have any goss then?
Yeah.
Spill it. Okay, spill some tea.
BL, spill the tea, sir.
Yeah, well, I went to the festival club to wrap up.
It's like the wrap up party of the comedy festival that all the comedians / staff of the comedy festival go to.
Yeah, and I became a thief.
Oh,
I'm a thief.
Is this the gossip? There's a thief afoot.
Yeah, there's a thief about, and I'm running away.
I think I know what you stole.
What'd you steal?
I think I took a photo of the evidence.
Yeah, you did.
What is it?
I posted the evidence.
He stole a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Someone's the gayest thief of all time.
Someone put a denim cowboy hat on me, and I said, I feel at home.
Well, you just continue to wear it?
And I just continued to wear it. Because Sashi, Pereira's husband, Charlie, just bestowed it upon me and put it on me.
Oh, so he stole.
And I said, whose is this? And he was like, I don't know.
It's being passed around.
Yeah.
And then
I was like to Alice.
That cowboy hat was up to no good anyway.
Yeah. And then the only other person in the room at the time with me who I thought could provide any reasoning or justification as to maybe you should do the right thing and place this back down was Alice, because she's usually a responsible voice. Mm. And I go, what should I do? And she's like, wear it.
She's one of the people in the suits that we talk about.
Yeah.
They're working out there in the office now, suit away. I don't even know what they do.
She's a woman in
the
suit.
You know, sometimes I just walk past their computers and I just see a spreadsheet and I just go,
something's happening.
That seems like what I employ you for.
Yeah. Man, I'm not joking. One of those spreadsheets is cheapest beers in the area. And that's purely just for in-office use for when we want to have like knockoff beers on like a Friday. So,
and again, that's what I pay them for. It's good to know they're finally doing their job. Yeah. I'm sick of all this tax bullshit they crunching bring up, which is unrelated.
Yeah, crunching the important numbers.
And I walk past Tyler's computer and there's a picture of Drake's cock. And I'm like, oh, I did tell him to Google that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So if you're missing a denim hat, go
no,
fuck
this
yourself,
is spilling the tea. It's not lost and found, all right?
Yeah.
This isn't also a bin in the office of a primary school.
Oh, no, it's not lost and found. It's stolen and found by its rightful owner who can wear it way better.
Yeah, just as a side, I feel like that's something that the original owner would have very easily been able to locate and find on your dome. So I don't think you need to feel too guilty about that. It was probably just bought and left for the for the masses to pass around anyway.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, I don't really have any tea. No goss this week from my end.
No, mate, this comes out on Wednesday. You just, I spread my ass cheeks next to Waleed Ali. Sorry, yeah, that was crazy, man.
Yeah. That's going to be next week's spread the A rather than spill the tea.
I don't think I have any tea to spill either, apart from someone, our friend Boog. You know our friend Boog?
So yeah.
Someone put 4 bumper stickers on his back, and then he walked around Northcote with the bumper stickers on his back for 2 hours.
No one told him?
No one told him.
That is a classic bit. It's the equivalent of putting a kick me sign on the back of someone.
What bumper stickers did they put on there?
Well, we were at a Bucks party and we went and watched local wrestling and they were handing out bumper stickers for the wrestling promotion. So we just slapped them on his back.
That's good.
None of us wanted to put them on our cars.
No.
So we just slapped them on Booger, didn't tell him for 2 hours, and he was pretty upset about it when he found out.
Yeah.
And it was even funnier too because he reached back and pulled the first one off and he was really drunk. And so he went, "Who put a sticker on me?" And we're all laughing, and then he was like, "What?" And he reached back and pulled the second one up. "Why did you put 2 of them on him?" We're all still laughing.
Dude, you're only halfway there. There's 2 more.
Yeah, and then he went to get the third one off and leant back too far in Mitch's apartment and knocked a tree off a plant. It was a decorative plant.
Imagine he was wiping his ass the next morning and just one just peeled out of his crack.
Down the floor.
Starts washing his hair and he's like, "God, how did one get in here too?"
Yeah. So not really major tea, but still pretty funny nonetheless.
Like I should have tea. Oh, here's a bit of tea.
Yeah, anything, man. That's the point of the segment. It's anything.
Thank God you said that.
Yep.
Because God, the bar is so low. Will Anderson was there.
Yep.
I didn't chat. I've never met Will. Well, I've been in many rooms with him.
Very funny, man.
In the same building with him. Yep. Never chatted. I liked my post on Instagram today. We've never spoken.
I didn't chat to Will at the festival.
I've never chatted to Will. Very nice guy. Right? But he was wearing a cap.
Okay.
And I did think, never struck me as a cap guy.
Oh, that's true.
I guess only seen him on television.
It was like a little Jordan branded hat, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think like, especially like, look, someone, you know, getting up there. He's not old, but he's not young anymore. He's been in this biz for a while. He's still got a strikingly good head of hair.
Great head of hair.
And I don't think we need to be rolling caps or... Well, indoors at night.
Okay, this is my question. I'm not in the too deep into the comedian space. I know who Will Anderson is. Is he at the level of fame where he requires a civilian disguise to exit the house?
I think in the festival club he would have been one of the more well-known figures.
He would have been one of the most well-known people at the venue when I left at 4:30 a.m.
Yeah, but that festival club was full of other comedians, right?
Yeah, but I would say he's like a household name in Australia. Maybe not amongst young
but he's,
people.
But he's not going into the festival club at that event and being like, "Oh, I'm going to get swamped with people trying to get photos and stuff with me."
No, but he did get swamped with people like me going, hat. Anyway.
Everyone's asking, "Didn't take you for a cap man, Will." Yeah. Anyway, have a good night.
No, I didn't bring it up. I just thought I'll be mature about this and I'll talk about him later on in a few days in a public forum.
Yep. Behind his back. Well, okay. That's
the mature thing to do.
That's what he would have wanted.
That's some tea. Will Anderson's a cap guy.
Yeah. Maybe we could get him on the pod, but like not as a guest. We just get him on for 3 seconds. He comes in. We go, "What's up with the cap thing?" And he goes, "I just like him." I go, "Thanks, Will.
Cool. Have a good day." Thanks for coming in, man. Really appreciate you putting the time aside for us.
Sorry, that's all we have time for. Yeah. We're going to get back to spill the tea.
Oh, hang on, guys. I'm Will Anderson. Can I promote my shows? Absolutely fucking not, mate.
Yeah, sorry.
No other tea to spill. So good night. Good end to the festival. Well done, Blake. Did you... First ever week at the Comic Sans.
Yeah, it was.
Very good.
Yeah, it was good. For 6 shows, 4 good ones.
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty good ratio.
Yeah, that's above 50%.
Yep.
Good stuff, mate.
I've got the marathon on
Is
Sunday.
Is that already happening?
Jeez.
On Sunday.
This Sunday?
Man, and I was thinking about it this week.
This has snuck up so quick, hey? Are you ready?
Well, I reckon I was thinking about this. I think I would have preferred to do it like a month ago.
Really? Just like, get out of the way?
You know, I've been tapering, which is where you slow down your training and ease up.
So you're talking about your fade.
Give Luke Higgler a low tapered marathon. And dude, I've been leaning into this tapering thing hard.
What does tapering entail?
See, like, it's I checked online this morning, which is crazy because like the whole time I thought it meant like, go to the pub heaps, sink pints, have donuts, Have a big Easter, eat a bunch of those Woolies chocolate bunnies every night.
Yeah.
Have no self-control over things that are going in and out of your body.
Yeah.
Don't ask me about that.
Okay. And then
that's what I thought of it. And then I Googled it yesterday and it's like, nah, like just run a half marathon instead. And I was like, God, oh, I feel like a doofus now. So I think Sunday... Like I did, I ran a half marathon last week and then I did like 18K, but this week I haven't run at all.
Why? What's the tapering do for you?
I've genuinely been really busy. Like I've been.
You've been so busy, man. What did you do on the weekend? You told me what you fucking got up to on the weekend.
I was flat out. Luke and I went to the Exford. We got home pretty late.
Got home at 4 a.m. or something.
I was like, come on, Luke, 42 pints. You get it ready.
Yeah.
The next night.
Same.
Yeah, one for every kilometre.
Yep.
Yeah. And I held myself to that. Because I'm dedicated.
The next night, out drinking with the festival club, coming home to watch WWE SmackDown at 6 a.m.
We don't need to delve into the private Snapchats I send you in confidence.
Oh, okay.
I had to catch up on SmackDown.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Man, I guess I'm so busy that the only time it fit in was at 6 a.m. Look at my hours. They're Mark Wahlberg hours. I'm grinding.
Yeah, that's fair.
No, but in all seriousness, I have... This comedy festival has definitely... got in the way of what was genuinely quite a good run in fitness wise and
yeah, you're doing well, man.
And now I feel like it's a little bit of shame and it's my own fault, but I'll be fine. I just know that I'll go deep down on Sunday, like, oh, maybe all the donuts wasn't good.
So how are you confident now? It's sounding like you're not.
No, I was confident about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Oh my God.
But maybe this is just nerves.
I think, listen, man, the optimist in me is going to tell you that it's just nerves.
But she's shocking. She just keeps saying shit like, I'll be just eating chocolate on the couch, like a full block. And she's like, oh, carbs. I'm like, I don't think you know what carbs are. Like, she'll just say, like, she'll be like, oh, you need it. Like,
brother, I think Meg just wants the bunny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I should run today. And she's just like, oh, like, we could just like watch this Netflix series. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, you've twisted my arm there. I guess I have to stay home.
So yeah, I'll probably go for a run tomorrow. See how I feel. And also I got these new shoes.
Have you broken them in or no?
Well, I'd done it a little bit. I ran 35K in them. They were fine. But then a few blisters have started to pop up. But now I really like them when they're not destroying my feet. They're comfortable.
Right.
Yeah. So when something is not bad, it's good.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting how that happens. Well, okay, so are you sold on using them for the race?
I think I am going to use them, but I'm going to wear the blister in like insole, like little pads. But okay. I'm going to try running with them tomorrow, see if it's comfortable.
Give it a go.
Right.
Now, I have another thing to ask you about your preparation for the race.
I'm not laxing up.
Okay, well, have you at least thought about it a little bit
Do
more?
Do you know how many people DM me like, please lax up?
That's good because the lax up movement's going strong. Good. I think you should.
No.
I think you should lax up.
I and this is another thing that's not really filling me with too much confidence. The last big run I did, I got 18K in and I went, I've got to do a poo now.
Oh,
so what happened?
I stopped mid-run. And I know that's not training under race conditions, but I don't know if you said, I'm not one of these Instagram inspirational bros that are like, do you see that video? Like,
yeah, the guy shit his
56 Boston Marathon, like
liquid shit dripping down.
Liquid shit, I had to get it done. And he's just got shit running
again,
down
man.
His leg. And he pans down.
Dude, ugh. Again, man, again. You know, don't use a calculator during a maths test.
I know. Yeah.
But fuck that. Fuck that rule, man. Use the calculator, I say.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah,
you did
there's
well.
Why do they even put porta potties along the racetrack if they don't want people to get
to
in there?
Defecate in
at
there.
The 18
exactly.
kilometer mark.
Yep.
I am worried because I do want to run a good time where me and my friend were trying to run below sub 3:30.
Yep.
Which is great for your first marathon. And most people have to train quite hard to get under 4.
Okay.
I'm lucky that I'm naturally a specimen.
Yeah.
Can I ask, when you get up to do your test marathons, like you did the other day, when you get up in the morning, are you like, today I'm going to do a test marathon?
Yeah, I am. But that's another thing. And this is what I was talking about with Joseph last night. This is why it's going to be just so out of my comfort zone. The marathon's at 8 a.m. Yeah. I run at like 3 p.m. or at like 5 p.m. or at midday.
Yeah.
I'm really up before 8 a.m. So it's like not only am I awake at a time where I'm like not usually functioning, I'm running a marathon when I'm usually unconscious. And I can't shit in the morning. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I wake up and I need to like get a little bit of, I need to get my day going first. It's not, what?
Max up. Most of I start most of my days with the shit.
So you like you can get out of bed and walk straight to the toilet and stuff will come out.
I let it simmer. Yeah, the stuff from the night before, I let it simmer.
Yeah, I'm often a morning shitter.
Often.
I don't know why I said it like that.
I will like go in the morning at some point, but like not. It's not in my first hour and a half, 2 hours. So I'm worried that I have to get up at like 5 a.m. Just to so I can like get the body
in the zone.
But then I'm gonna be tired and I'm trying to. What I'm trying to say, I'm so fucked. And I'm really regretting this.
What if we stimulate, instead of a straight up laxing up, what if we take this genius concept and we take the skeleton of it and apply it with something else? What if we, maybe you don't want to use a caffeine of any kind, maybe you don't have coffee or an energy drink, but what if instead we use a physical massage of some kind? Maybe if you just, in the Gucci area or the upperness of the anus.
Will you be driving a Ballarat to apply it?
And that's something I'm willing to do for this friendship.
Sorry, Bella shat after I've been there.
Bella, yeah. Bella splat.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what I would love Bella to scat. Do? I would love to do like a marathon under Luke rules. You know how like, you know, the WWE, they do bloodline rules.
Yep.
It's like anything goes. I would love to run like a Ballarat, like a BLT marathon. On my terms.
Yeah.
And those terms would be, we kick off at whenever, 4 hours after whenever I wake up, depending on what I've done the night before.
Yep.
Yep.
So like, so let's say kick off at 2 p.m.
Yep.
Which means you got all afternoon to finish it. Like that's plenty of time.
Yeah.
And we run it when it's like 20 degrees. I don't care, but most people go, that's too hot. I kind of like a bit of sun on my back.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
And I want 3 stops along the way.
Yep.
And they don't count to your time.
Yep.
You just get 3 stops for 10 minutes. It's like tennis. You know, they sit at the chairs. Yeah. I love that sport because they just get a break. And like, why can't we cut to commercials during the marathon? You cut back and you've missed a bit during the Olympics. And it's like, no, it's like they should just cut to commercials. Everyone should stop on the side of the road, take their breath, and then they'll get way better times.
That's what really annoys me about the WWE. They're cooking and then they're like, and we'll be back. And then the matches continue. You've missed like 2 minutes of the match.
Yeah. So I would love 3 stops and then...
I like that.
Maybe like a beer at the end, like when you cross the finish
line. Okay, well, how about I propose to you the Tyler's Rule Marathon. Can I pitch this to you?
Yeah.
What we do is it's a normal marathon, except the 2 rules are this. You get to use a car and you can drive the whole thing.
Okay.
And you also can only get in the car after you've achieved a victory royale in Fortnite.
And the 3rd rule is you still have to lax up.
Mandatory lax up the morning of.
I've got one.
Okay,
and rules. These are Blake's rules, and it might also play off yours. Even if you don't want to do that, even if you don't want to hop in the car, what if you don't have to go to Ballarat? What if you can just walk out your front door, get an Uber, come to the pub, I'll be there, and we'll have a beer.
So we go to the marathon, but we just do what we've been doing during my tapering period.
Yeah.
So I've already done, I've done a bunch of Blake marathons this week.
Yeah. And see, by the time Sunday rolls around, you'll be like, fuck, I really trained for this.
Yeah. I'm ready for this race.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because I've done like 6 Blake marathons and it's only Tuesday.
Yeah.
I want to do Dad Law.
You want to do Dad Law?
We've been putting this off for weeks.
I know. We need to just do it. All right. Let's do the Dad Law then. Well, it's the segment that we've been promising for weeks now. For those listeners who have been around for a while since the infamous, not even infamous, since the famous episode 13, still a standout in BLT's history.
In Melbourne, I got a couple of those. My episode 13 was fucking sick.
Oh, really? Still? Yeah. Still
was that single dad meals?
Yeah, it was.
That would have been single dad
meals. Remember
when
we built up to the big episode 13? We promised it was going to be an absolute banger and it was.
And it was.
It's
a classic. We're always doing that.
Yeah.
Over promising and then over delivering.
Yeah.
That's so us.
Can I just say, most nights during the comedy festival, probably every second night, Tyler would be there to take photos for the meet and greet and help run the show. And these two BLT heads came up. They were like, fuck, we love the pod, boys. Thanks so much. And this isn't a shot at the BLT heads. But no, we did notice something about these two.
I need to make an apology to the listeners, but continue.
But so these two people come up and they say g'day. They go, oh, fuck, the tea's here. The tea was getting a lot of love. It was great. We had a very wholesome interaction, got a photo. And as they're going away, they're about to walk down the stairs at the Comics Lounge. And Tyler just goes, hey, it's good to have two attractive BLT listeners for once.
Extreme, extremely different way that those events
Why
unfolded.
Why would you yell that across
I
the room?
I didn't yell it across the room. No, that's not what happened.
I don't know if that's... That I is think not that's what happened. Happened.
I know the gap between the staircase and the photo wall.
Exactly. No, that's not...
And it's... You'd have to project.
Yeah.
Oh, and there was projection.
Yeah. No.
And people you would have to. Maybe they weren't at the stairs, but they were definitely on their way.
Oh. And were they a couple of baddies?
They were two very attractive. They were a very attractive pair. Yeah. And they were not two people you would expect to be like, oh, I love your podcast.
Like, if they submitted Who's Punching to Gemma and Dylan, they would actually tie.
Yeah, 100%.
Right.
So and they were also not young, too.
So
I
thought it was going to be a slam on these two people. It was a slam on the rest of the
that's
fan
what I'm
base.
Saying. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
why
it was.
I apologized to them at the start of this.
Oh, and, so it's you also, listening right now, you ugly fucking dog sitting there listening to this in your stupid car on the train or wherever you...
Okay, listen up. I'm going to apologize to some people.
God, I wish you were a musician. I wish you had a blank face, you ugly fucks.
Firstly, the B stands for bad case of hyperbole, because that's not exactly what happened, all right?
Okay.
What happened was they get their photo with Blake, and as they're walking away, I went, fuck, two most attractive BLT listeners. So it wasn't exactly a...
And people heard
Oh, that's
it.
Just a correct statement.
They were extremely attractive.
Yeah, if you see a nine at a show and they say listen to the podcast, you can go forth and assume, again, guys, no offense, that they're going to be the most attractive... I listen to podcasts.
Yep.
I'm not hot.
Nah.
Well, you're hot, man.
I'm
don't
like
say
a seven.
We're all sevens. I think we're 21 all up.
Seven is what you say when...
I'm an eight, Blake's a six.
Yeah. An average.
I'll just let it go. I'll let that go to the keeper.
You know what? It's not even worth the argument.
No, it's
no,
not.
It's yeah. not. No, just leave it.
Because you probably don't have the confidence to because of your attractiveness.
Exactly, yeah. We're all sevens. Three sevens, 21. No. That's it. We'll make it even, Stevens.
Let's not do it. I don't want to wreck relationships. I love you boys too much.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Exactly.
It does feel like we're like on a real note. And I had to be real with you boys.
Yeah.
I do think if someone put a gun to my head right now and was like, Luke, or put me in a lie detector, either one.
Yeah.
Who was the most attractive member of BLT? It wouldn't be the L or the T.
You'd say it would be the B.
No, it would be the B. And that's why we can make these jokes.
Exactly.
Well
okay, I'm not calling you hot, mate.
No.
I'm just saying you're hotter than us.
Oh, yeah. I think he's very handsome.
Don't get too bummed out. And likewise, but I was going to say, I don't think... Based on...
You're going to say neither. Like, gun tight, just shoot me. Unfortunately, there isn't a hot member.
No.
No, I want to
hear what
the
level
says.
Of attractiveness reflects upon to the audience we've got there.
Oh.
Just a bunch of fours going, fuck, finally some relatable boys to listen to.
Yeah.
No, but what I was going to say is, based upon our history, well, I've never known you as a single man, but me and Tyler spent a few years of our relationship together as single men.
Mm-hmm.
And I just... From the pool of people that have approached Tyler, I think Tyler would statistically be...
Tyler has the best game, no questions asked.
Yeah.
Blake and I are not as charismatic as people think.
Dude, the fact that you couldn't just be like, nah, facts, he's pretty hot, and you had to just go, no, it's his Riz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Oh, yeah. That's a genuine compliment.
Facts, yeah. I'll take that. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Thank you so much.
Yeah. No, I just thought that was more of a testament, you know, to Tyler's charisma and charm.
Yes, it is.
But, oh, no, man, you're all right.
Yeah. Oh, that Rhea Ripley shirt.
You're both wearing wrestling shirts. Maybe I'm the hottest.
No, one is, trust me.
I'm wearing AFL Melbourne Demons merch.
Yeah.
So.
None of us can win. Anyway.
Do you think it's like a we reap what we sow? So you think like our audience are just sevens?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so.
You know what?
We have an attractive audience.
Yeah, I think we do.
I think we have an attractive audience.
Can I just say, I made this observation. When I opened for Matt Rife, who was like an objectively hot comedian.
Very hot.
The hottest crowd I've ever seen.
Mm.
Hot people support other hot people.
I remember walking past Hammer Hall the night of his Melbourne show and I was like, what the
dudes
fuck?
Are out of control.
They're all
as real well.
Too,
like
yeah.
It's like a bunch of like Gold Coast looking people know that stereotype. Love Island contestant. Looks like they're all auditioning for The Bachelorette.
Shining
tans.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That was the vibe like looking out from the stage. And I did think that's odd.
But as I walked past, I did have a moment where I thought if I was completely blind and just heard audio of this crowd, you'd be like, oh, they listen to BLT.
Yeah.
You'd be like, that's an ugly sound.
Yeah.
Just nothing but, he fucking talked to me. fuck, the meet and greet was so worth it, hey. God, he said no. Oh, it's a sign the tits that he said no.
No, the titty.
It's so sick that Husey went out and supported Matt.
Right, if he wouldn't sign my tits. Fuck.
But it was an odd thing I noticed. And what was maybe a bad thought of my end, I remember being on stage like, the fuck, my fans aren't this hot. I guess it's a reap what you sow.
I think it is a reap what
you sow. I coast off my personality and so does my fan base.
Yeah.
No, in all honesty though, listen, Blake wasn't wrong.
By the way, if I could pick a fan base, it wouldn't be his.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah, I'd rather have us. In all honesty, I think maybe there was a bit of reverse hyperbole and I did lie and I probably said these. I made a joke and I said the first attractive BLT.
I think you said first attractive BLT.
Yeah, and I think I was making it as a joke to Blake and then they heard it as well as they were walking away because they turned around and laughed and I went, oh, that's kind of a wild thing for me to say to these people.
Yeah.
But it was still funny and the BLT heads are generally quite attractive. They're a good look. You're a good looking bunch. Don't take that the wrong way at all. I have thought that sincerely.
Okay.
Not in a creepy way, just in a way of like, wow, okay, good to see some listeners who have personal hygiene. Good stuff.
Yeah. Now, time for dad law.
No, I think we should keep talking about the sexiness of our audience.
Guys, hit us up in the DMs. Are you a hottie?
Anyway,
send us selfies of Nimara and we'll rate your attractiveness. No, guys, we aren't JML and Dylan. All right.
Yeah, cool. No, that shtick's already been taken. No, so let me get back into this. So those of you who've listened for a long time, episode 13, we hyped it up and we proved that we rely on our dads a lot for content.
Yeah.
Now, there is a good reason for that. For some reason, there is something about dads that provide a great jumping off point for discussion, I found. And the idea of this segment was a listener-submitted segment, so shout out. Basically, the idea is that dad lore is the concept of your dad having a life before you or having stories to tell you that make you go like, oh shit, my dad did stuff as well that I
it's
have
a
not
classic
been a part
case
of
you grow up, turn 18, and you'll be around the fire one night around your backyard or at the pub with the parents or at a family event, and they start telling a story that they otherwise would have censored 2 years ago when you were 16.
Yes.
It's almost like they're being like, you know what? You're old enough to hear that I had a life before you and used to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's even like a hidden thing that was like, could be, you know, concealed from you or something where you dive further. Like, you know, hey dad, do you want to watch Indiana Jones? I hate Indiana Jones, mate.
And he has
why do you hate Indiana Jones? Well, when I was 15, mate, I took my girlfriend at the time to the movies and blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
Blah.
And you're like, oh,
do you know what I found as well? It's so weird
when you used to think like your parents might've dated.
Yeah, 100%.
Like they knew someone else before your mum.
Yeah.
Or your stepmum, whatever it is.
I went to a 21st of some good family friends of some people my dad knows really well. So it's people my dad grew up with. And I met one of dad's ex little flings.
Yeah.
And did you actually?
And it was weird. I was like, oh, you could have been my mum.
Didn't your mum, will I say that? The comedian?
Oh, no?
Yeah,
we can say that.
Your mum, well, we can cut it, but. Your mum...
My mum may have been at a party with Lawrence Mooney once and maybe shared a smooch.
Yeah, nothing.
Really?
Nothing crazy.
Nothing. It was all above board. And
Blake did have the thought when he first met Lawrence backstage, he could have been my dad.
I saw him on the front bar a couple of weeks ago. He was doing some great skit character work and I was like, fuck, is it in the genes? No, but... since you guys have just said I'm the hottest member of BLT, I think the genes would align with Paulie's physique and looks there. He's a good-looking dilf.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Paulie is a good-looking
guy. A couple of my friends have been like, fuck, what? Since Paul's grown a beard,
people have been like,
fuck, Paulie's like...
Whenever I see him falling asleep at the pub, I'm always like, jeez.
Dude, wish he was falling asleep on my shoulder. Hey,
well, horses do fall asleep standing up, so...
Yeah, so I thought to kick this segment off, I'd go straight to the source. Now, Alan Cahill, my father, he's appeared, he's pretty well known on this pod, most notably from the Canberra story. If you've tuned in right at the start of the pod, definitely recommend going back and listening to that episode to catch that one. And with his takes in the Single Dad Food episode 13. Now, I went out for dinner with dad and we're at a Chinese restaurant. And I'm sitting across from him and I explained to him the idea your dad were doing this segment called Dad Lore. I was wondering if there's any stories you could share with me. Yeah, he stops for a second and he goes, let me think, Tiles. yep, okay, I've got something. And I was like, cool, all right, let me know. He goes, all right. In year 12, once a month, a student would be selected to showcase a special skill or talent for the entire year 12 cohort at lunchtime in the dormitory, in the main eating area. And I picked a pretty interesting skill. I learned how to call a hoedown. So I had everyone come in at lunchtime, perform a hoedown.
You learn how, what does calling a hoedown mean?
Just means he learned how to organize it and call a hoedown. And I asked the same question. I was like, what does that entail? And he goes, you know, you just call a hoedown, everyone grab the part, do-si-do. And then he started yodeling and doing a song.
It's like you're the conductor of the group dance.
Yes. And I said, and what?
Oh, and then I said to him, that's what a hoedown is. I thought you just punch someone who's sexually promiscuous and they fall to the floor and then everybody goes, hoedown!
Yeah, no, that's called when he divorced my mum.
Jesus.
No, anyway.
No, he was more referring to a boot scooting.
Which is what he did when he divorced my mum. Anyway, so I say to my dad, I go, so you called a hoedown, what does that tell? He goes, oh, so you did, and he starts yodeling and doing this song. And I was like, okay, firstly, stop that.
We're in public.
And I said, so then what happened? He goes, well, that's it. I called the hoedown. I was like, that's the story?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that was my skill. And I was like, have you got anything else for me? And he's like, oh, and he was kind of upset that I didn't think it was that good. I was like, anything with a bit of gossip, a bit of juice, like anything with, you know, a little something. And he keeps eating his honey chicken and rice or whatever. And he's eating it and he goes, oh, let me think. He goes, oh, yeah, I got this other story. He goes, so in the early 90s, I was on a business trip with a group of guys from work. And one of my mates is this Scottish guy, Andy. And we were there in LA and we went out to this bar owned by Robert De Niro. It was like his restaurant at the time. And we're at this restaurant owned by Robert De Niro. And we're all at the bar drinking. And then there was this staircase. And at the top of the staircase were these two big security guards. And my mate Andy, the Scottish guy, leans across the bar and he says to the bartender, what's going on up there? And the bartender says, listen, I'm not supposed to tell you, but it's Rod Stewart's birthday. Rod Stewart's having his birthday party upstairs.
Oh.
And Andy goes, Rod Stewart. And he runs up the stairs and he whispers in the security guard's ear and they let him in. And he goes into Rod Stewart's. And then he comes back to the staircase.
It sounds like a pub joke.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like what I thought. I'm listening to him thinking like, okay, where's this going? And then he goes.
And then the second guy went up, whispered in his ear, went in.
Yeah.
And then the third guy went up. And the old guy's like.
Yeah. No. And so then dad goes.
You sound like my old neighbor Barry talking to me at the letterbox.
Yeah. And he comes back and he goes, yeah. Then Andy comes back. And at the top of the stairs is Andy with Rod Stewart. And he's giving him a big hug. And I was like, well, what happened? He goes, well, then I went to Rod Stewart's birthday party. I was like, what, you actually went in? He goes, yep. I'm like, what? And he goes, Andy and Rod Stewart used to play soccer together in Scotland. They're like friends. And so we went and had Rod Stewart's. And I was like, well, what happened? He goes, oh, I can't tell you, mate, but I got very drunk. I was like, is this a real thing that happened? He goes, yeah. I was like, why the fuck did you open with the hoedown?
Son's literally one of the most well-versed people in music. Yeah. And he was like, no, I'll let that go to the keeper.
I went to Rod Stewart's birthday party.
That's
in 1990.
That's a great dad-law story.
That's what I said. I was like, what are you serious? He goes, yeah. And I was like, was he nice? He goes, yeah, he's a great guy.
God, my dad's best story, like, name drop-wise, he used to play volleyball with Glenn Robbins, and then I found out so did your dad.
My dad did too. Yeah.
He's like, you know, from Kath and Kim. I'm like, yeah, I know him.
Yeah, crazy.
Well, my dad's...
It is pretty cool, though, that he's spiked Russell Coit before.
Yeah.
100%.
My dad's only name drop is that he used to, as a kid, he and Guy Pearce used to live on the same street.
That's pretty cool. Did he meet Guy?
I think as kids they maybe, this is pre even
name. Do you know who Guy Pearce is?
I know he's an actor, but I used to get him and Pierce Brosnan confused.
Well,
Pierce Brosnan was the old Bond in GoldenEye.
Pierce Brosnan would have been way cooler for my dad. Guy Pearce is Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, super villain in Iron Man 3.
I haven't seen either.
What else is Guy
Pierce? One of the only Marvel
movies. He's in quite a few things, but off the dome, that's probably the two biggest that you would know from. Man.
For all I know, I could live down the street from Guy Pearce and I wouldn't know any of his work or who he is.
You very well could. You could live in the same house as Guy Pearce and might not know.
Yeah.
Well, I found out Taylor Swift dropped a new album about a day ago, so that's how I'm going.
Well, that happened about 3 days ago, so it's not that big of a deal.
That's what we were talking about on the way. It dropped the same day of the comedy festival party, and then I was like, boys, we...
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did.
Oh. No, it dropped on Friday.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, well, a couple of days after that. And then I remember we both had separate conversations with Alice, but it went the same way. Alice, one of the woman in the suit, is a very big Taylor Swift fan.
Huge Swiftie.
And then we both asked her, so how was it? And this is when you know a Swiftie album's bad, is when a massive Taylor Swift fan goes, it was good.
Dude, that's not what happened. I go, so what's the big review? She's excited about it all week. And then she goes,
yeah.
Well, I got a, it's good. Yeah. It's okay.
And she goes, no, the writing, if you actually look at the, lyrically, it's her best work.
Possibly her worst.
But when it hit my ears, I hated it.
She has a line. This is a 34-year-old woman who's probably the most famous person in the world. And she has a line where she talks about how she got high and listened to Charlie Puth. Like, it's a flex.
That's cool. It's like the modern, I took a pill and a beezer to show Avicii I was cool. I got high listening to Charlie.
Yeah, that's one tortured poet, all right. Tell you what, shout that Charlie Puth.
Yeah. By the sounds of it, happiness isn't good artistically for Taylor.
No.
Seems like she's in a really good place personally. You know, she's got this boyfriend, Travis. They've actually been going out for a while.
Yeah.
And maybe call it quits and write another banger.
Yeah, come on.
No, look, I haven't listened, so I don't want to comment because I'm scared of that fan base. It's not as scary. It doesn't terrify me as much as like K-pop stands, but it's like...
K-pop stands are far scarier. It goes, I think the top goes K-pop stands, then Barb's, Nicki Minaj's fan base number two.
BLT heads come number six. I wouldn't want to piss them off. Bunch of Argos.
Yeah. anyway, the, May 9th, old bar, blank face, Luke might be there. No, yeah, come down,
they
please.
Only scare me to look out.
Yeah.
Also I would say Harry Styles fans when Harry's in circulation on tour. That's a fucked
fan base.
Yeah, true.
That's a violent fan. Well, they're almost Swifties and Styles
but
as well.
But also Jonas Brothers fans. There were only hundreds of them when they came to Melbourne the other day. But they are scary because my sister's a part of that group too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And my sister and her sister met me at the Exford at about 2 a.m. after the concert in matching Jonas Brothers suits. And my sister comes in and she was like, we tried to get into the lock in the elephant or whatever, the elephant
the elephant wheelbarrow.
He was like, we tried to get into the elephant wheelbarrow and they said no. And we were like, it's because of the shirts. I was like, I can see spew coming out of your mouth.
That is, by the way, nothing to do with the Jonas Brothers. It's just... Like that's more of a reflection on your
my family.
That story completely deferred away from your original point.
Yeah, I kind of just wanted to throw my sister under the bus.
Anyway, dad law. So
I was going to say, yeah, we're in the middle of another segment, aren't we? Man, I've got a bonus Alan dad law story if you want me to. Can I add that while you look yours up? Dude.
Oh, I've got one from a fan. Oh, yeah.
I'll tell this bonus one from Alex. He was like, I've got another one that might be of interest. And he goes to me, he goes, when I was in my early 20s, I was going through a big breakup from my first proper girlfriend I've been dating for a couple of years. And he's like, my sister, your auntie, was going through a divorce as well. She's, you know, 6 or 7 years older than me. And she was living in a house by herself. And so I was going to move back home away from my girlfriend. And my dad said, no, you can go live with your sister. Look after her. She's going through a divorce. So we were living in this house together, and after a couple of weeks of both of us being depressed, I thought, you know what? Stuff it. I'm going to throw an absolute rager of a party. Mm. Now, my dad does not strike it. Even me, I would be like, this guy does not party. No. But he was like, nah. No. We put the call out. We summoned everyone to this house. The party was off its head. He's like, mate, 200 people, I reckon. Probably not 200 people, but... He reckons it was just
a pretty big hoedown.
He said it was quite the hoedown, yes. Yeah. And yes, he was emphasizing quite the hoedown. And he goes to me too, he drops these pieces of things into the story. He goes, mate.
Rod Stewart was there.
Dad, we'll stop hanging out with Rod.
No, he sprinkles in these details and he goes, he kind of nods to me and goes, remember this. He goes, I was absolutely off my face. Now, do you remember waterbeds? I was like, yeah, I remember waterbeds. I've only seen one in action. My auntie has a waterbed. And I remember that, thinking that was quite a strange. She goes, yeah, horrific to sleep on. But I had a waterbed at the time. And he kind of goes, points at me and goes, remember that. I was like, okay. And then he goes, yeah, you know the other thing that was crazy that happened? I was like, what? He goes, Danny Minogue came to the party. I was like, Danny Minogue came to the party? He goes, yeah, Danny Minogue showed up. I was like, she would have been pretty famous at the time. Yeah, she was pretty famous at the time. I was like, okay, so you were drunk, waterbed, Danny Minogue. Continue. He goes, that's it. I was like, why did you make me remember those
details? Was your dad trying to allude to the fact that he might have had a night with Danny Minogue?
No, not at all. He just was telling the story. He just goes, those are the 3 points. I was like,
well, and he's like, also, there was sausage rolls in the oven.
That's what he was doing.
And I was a bit of non-trivial information that
doesn't matter to the story at all. I was like, so what?
He just wanted to paint a picture. It was the 80s. There were waterbeds and Danny Minogue.
Yeah. He just goes, I was like, why did you say remember that? And why did you list them like that? He goes, mate, that story happened like 40 years ago. I just couldn't. I wanted you to remember the details.
Well, don't start to tell it then.
That's what I said. Yeah. That's crazy.
Like, I love you, Dad, but
he's
bullet points before you.
Yeah.
No, but to be fair, you put him on the spot.
Well, he probably did write bullet points. He's forgot the rest of the story. He was just like, Danny Minogue, waterbed.
Drunk.
Right, let's fucking send it, boys.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into the fan submissions.
This one was from Alyssa.
Yep.
And I love it. It's a classic. It's in the same vein as dad partying back in the day, she found out. This story, it's a story about her friend's dad.
Yep.
She goes, too good not to share. While he was in law school in Texas, he convinced the entire staff of a nightclub that his girlfriend was a Finnish princess so they could get in free every weekend. Right before he graduated, he took it all the way. He spent a bunch of the money he'd made as a server to rent a limo, tuxes for all his friends, bought a ton of fancy champagne, whole nine yards. He even made little royal sashes and assigned some of his friends to be the security team. What it feels like is an 80s version of Ricky Stenicki, where he's gotten caught in a lie. So he's been using this fake association. He's been telling people he's a royal to get into this
amazing
club for free when he's not.
Yeah.
And then finally they got suspicious of the, maybe this guy's not a royal.
Yeah.
So one night he just went all out.
Mm. Yep.
Pretty funny. I love a good commitment to a bit. That's great stuff.
That is a great bit.
And that's another point Alyssa brings up. She goes, the shit you could get away with before the internet is absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
You can't Google who the Finnish princess is. It's not in the paper.
True.
It's like, who's to say that you're not dating a Finnish or whatever, you know?
That's true. Who knows? Here's another dad law fan, listener submission. This is from Jaden. Now, Jaden's a great guy. We love Jaden. He says, hi, I'm Jaden and I'm the Jeff Hardy of BLT. So glad he introduced himself with the message as well. He says, my father is from Germany and he moved here when he was 16. And I was told when I was young that his first day of school, the biggest bully in the school walked up to him and stuck up a certain salute. He also screamed, nein, and continued to make fun of my father, who claims he then stood up and knocked him clean out without saying a word. He then says, my father is also 5'5" and dipped when I was 4 months old, so he's not the most trustworthy source. Pretty funny.
That's great.
That's a pretty good piece of dad lore, though. I like that, the silent assassin.
Mm. Yeah. It's good to know Germany won World War III.
it's good to know
they could get a win eventually.
Yeah. They got one on the board.
They're like, they didn't win any of the big ones, but they won the schoolyard punch on.
Yeah. Well, mate, the saying goes, third time's a charm.
What's funny is, just from that, my main takeaway is how much bullying has changed over time. Mm. Now, if you did that in school, like, the bully would be ostracized for doing that salute. Like, if you ripped a Nazi salute in the schoolyard,
people be like,
no one will be like, you got him.
No, everyone would be like, what are you doing?
You got yourself. You fucking, now no one wants to be associated with you.
I don't know, man. I remember in year 10.
You grew up in the country.
We had a German exchange student come for about a year, and the first month for him was pretty rough.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But
kids are cruel, man.
I booked shows in Germany. Like, we added them to the tour. Cologne and Berlin, get your tickets. Is it a thing like, do I bring it up? Is it an elephant in the room? To me, it is. Because we don't know much about Germany.
Well, historically, it's relevant.
Are you on stage every night going, fuck, Stolen Generation's a pretty big elephant in this room?
No.
Yes, then exactly. Then I think it's the same for them.
Mm.
Yeah, you'd probably be fine. Yeah.
Well, it's the story. It's
I'll
like,
probably bring it up.
It's like the story Robbie Williams tells famously when he went on stage in Nuremberg in front of like 100,000 people, and it was a venue that Hitler had done all these speeches in. And then he was like, oh my God, I love these guys. These are great. Like, I'm going to show them my appreciation. And then he just finished Angels and just went, Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles, which is like a famous Nazi chant. And what? Now I've said that on a public platform.
Clip that.
But and then 100,000 people just booed the shit out of him.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. So maybe don't bring
maybe
it up.
Maybe I won't bring it up.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe don't. Man, I don't think they're too fond of
maybe
their past.
Just go, fuck, Bashing Berlin's going to be sick.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
It does. I reckon they've heard it before.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be coming in as a comedian touring Germany, covering new ground.
Yeah. I think just go and say, thank you guys for inspiring David Bowie to write Heroes. Great song. See you later.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do. They'll be like, fuck, love this guy.
Yeah.
King. We can be heroes. Just for one day.
I've got multiple bits of dad lore. Look, many have probably been told to me in confidence.
Yeah.
But there was one that he actually told, and it's not really to do with him. It's not very juicy. It's just a story that I loved. He told it at his retirement.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So my dad is a teacher.
Yep.
And he's been teaching for like 30 years. Mm-hmm. So back in the day, school camps, I found out, used to be camps. They would like pitch tents on the beach. At
yep.
Like Wilson's just
raw
Prom
dog on the
or
beach.
Like Phillip yep. Island or, you know.
What happens if the tide comes in?
Oh, yeah. Didn't really ask. I guess you get wet.
Mate, when Quent Kidgel is your teacher, you're not worried about the tide. You're worried about the tiger.
Yeah, good.
And he told this story, and it's one of those ones where I guess it is one of those ones I never heard back in the day when I was, you know, in my schooling years, because it's requires the context of being an adult
yep.
to appreciate the story probably.
Of course.
I think they're like quite young kids, maybe like grade 2 or grade 5, I don't really know what year, but bunch of kids, and the chefs that they had employed, like the school, they didn't know, but they were sleeping with each other, and they were in a tent too.
Okay, yeah, oh, okay. Yeah.
So everyone goes to bed, teachers go to their tents, and the chefs went to their tents mm-hmm. and
just pitched a tent. Tents were pitched.
They were rooting aggressively loudly.
Yeah.
Is the only. I was trying to think of like a better way to put it.
Yeah.
They were having sexual intercourse.
Clapping cheeks on the beach.
Clapping cheeks in the sand.
Quite cool. Romantic.
And apparently the sand was coarse and rough and got everywhere, yeah. like Anakin said.
Yeah. Romantic in any other setting, but not with a like 38 year olds.
Now, obviously, the teachers had a decent assumption as to what might be occurring in the tent.
Yep.
Due to the moaning. And oh yeah, oh yeah, yes, yes, don't stop, oh yeah.
Yep.
Yes, keep fucking me, school chef.
Coming out of the tent. Oh, let him cook.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think I can tell what's happening in there.
The kids then wake up the next morning, and a few of them, obviously, fair enough, they're curious at the noises that they had heard.
Curious little minds.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of like a bit of a Santa Claus Easter Bunny situation where it's like, oh, I'm not the person in your life to tell you
yeah,
this.
Yeah, exactly.
What
do you say?
Oh, Mr. K, we all heard noises last night. What was the noise? And he's like, I looked at the other teacher and they just like looked at him like, this one's on you. And Dad just turned around to like a group of 30 grade 2s and just went, oh, the possums pretty loud last night. A beach possum.
Yeah, beach possum.
Yeah. Just a little sand poss.
Beach poss, man. Trust me.
He's just like, oh, bird, rat, yeah. A lion. It could have been a lion.
You could see the movie June that came out not too long ago. Little sandworms. They crawl around, make a lot of noise.
Yeah. Literally just like, it could have been a seagull. Who knows?
What? Yeah. What?
And I wonder if those kids growing up ever thought about that story as an adult and went, Oh, the chefs were rooting.
You know what's so funny?
They would have clicked in like year 9.
No, I don't reckon. I reckon it's one of those memories that stays with you where you go like, oh man, I fucking heard the weirdest possums on the beach that time. And then they're going to be like 30 years old telling their partner or whatever like, yeah, no, one time I went camping as a kid and there was possums on the beach making these crazy noises.
They were moaning and the possum was like, put it in, no, wrong hole, wrong hole. Like, yeah. And it's like, why would the possum be saying that? Like I think he went into his wrong burrow. I don't even know if possums burrow. They don't.
No, they're trees-based creatures, I believe.
Yeah, but it's apparently it was just like rabbit, giraffe, possum, shit.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. That is awesome. Dude.
But that's like a wholesome dad lore, that one. That's a good not really, I guess, but yeah.
That's a good one.
Well, it's wholesome.
Does your dad like revert back to his former self around his high school mates? Have you ever seen him hang out with people?
Well, I was going to say, you at the start of the segment, we started saying that sometimes your parents will start telling a story. But in my experience, it's always when my dad's friends are around, they'll be like, oh, mate, your fucking dad back in the day, I could tell some stories. And then I go, tell me the stories. And dad's like, no, I've got dirt on you that's way worse. And then I've never been able to find out. So I've tried to scout dad lore since we introduced this segment and I've not cracked through to him. I was thinking maybe I could ring my mum and get some dirt, but who knows? We've already thrown her under the bus with the Lawrence Mooney shit.
Just keep trying.
Because I know there was a phase in my father's life where he had long hair and an earring.
Oh, that's when the best lore would have occurred.
Yeah, 100%.
I know that.
That would be like that would be a whole section in his Wikipedia.
Yeah,
like if he had one.
Yep.
Lip ring error. Imagine Paul Pavey's errors tour.
God. Oh. That's like Paulie's. Like he would have walked into like the workplace and be like, "Oi, boys, you hear this fucking sick new band, Bon Jovi? Pretty tough shit. He's got the fucking earring in, dude. Yeah, you got to dig deep, man. See if you can get it out of him.
Yeah."
Always think about that. There was one point in time where someone said to their friend, "Your God, have you heard Higher by Creed? It's this new song. It goes so
can
hard.
Can you take and it's me like, higher?"
It's like, God, that one conversation they had at the water cooler has aged so well. Did go so hard.
Dude, that did
shit
go
does
hard.
Not change.
The fuck. Yeah, I will get dad lore out of Paulie. I will make it a mission over the next however long we do this segment. I will get something out of him.
Yeah, if you have a submission and you want to join, if you have any stories that if this has sparked a, rung
a
bell.
You know what? Let's get some dad lore, but let's also get some mum lore because maybe there's some crazy stories about mum.
Let's get any person, a parent or older, get some great-granddad lore in there. Mate, if fucking that bully German came in, he was like, so my great-grandfather was actually, he had aspirations to be an artist and it didn't really work out. maybe something like that will pop up.
You know what
up.
We should maybe avoid? What? Tiptoe around? Uncle Law.
Yeah, Uncle Law's crazy, man. Yeah. Dude, I learned some Uncle Law recently and I can't share it on the pod, but I'll tell you boys after the pod, it was fucking next level.
Uncle Law feels like a BLT premium Patreon segment.
I don't even want to give this out in public at all.
Okay. Yeah.
Uncle Law is just something else entirely. Because I feel like uncles, there's obviously uncles have the classic sense of like the creepy uncle, but I feel like uncles have a thing with like, especially with nephews, where they're like, I don't have any responsibility over you, so I'm going to tell you some real fucked stories from my past. And you're like, what? I didn't ask for this at all, uncle.
Episode 113. Can we do single uncle meals? It's like even worse than single dad meals.
Yeah, all right, your mum dropped you off. Here's a fucking AA battery. Can't eat it.
It's lithium or nothing. Go to sleep. Yeah.
You're like, fuck, all right.
Shut up, the Powerball's on.
No shit, actually. I remember one time. No, I love my uncle.
Lavinia Nixon's on the telly. Shut the fuck up.
I remember one time mum dropped us off with my uncle at his house and my cousin was there. And I shit you not, for 2 days straight, we played COD Zombies. I don't think we ate. I think we had Macca's the second night and that was the only food consumed. It was like 2 days straight at COD Zombies. It was awesome. Oh, anyway.
You just were like living off blue light.
yeah. That was it. So yeah,
not even
members,
natural light.
No, none at all. Audience members, we want mum law, we want grandparent law, but then even deeper is uncle law.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. Right. But thank you guys for tuning in. That's all we have time for today.
Yeah.
We're about to rip a Patreon pod. So $6.90, you can get on the Patreon, listen to the bonus app. We're about to do another full app for those Patreon BLT premium subs.
Let's go. I've got some Uncle Law boys. I didn't even know this. My uncle just got married in Rockhampton. Brother, save it for the Patreon. You just see the spike in like subs? Analytics of people signing up wanting to hear about the Rockhampton wedding.
Yeah, let's go. By the way, sorry, before the end of the episode, Frenchie sent me photos of the car. Oh. He was not kidding.
Oh, is it really fucked?
Oh, they just completely towed it into a puddle. It looks like something you'd like see on like a, one of those.
Looks like the Universal Studios set.
Leos Insurance.
Yeah.
Like it's an insurance company like, car straight into water.
Dude, that's like, that is the visualization of an intrusive thought. Lucky I have that all the time. Like thinking like, if I just veered off the road into oncoming traffic or a river or some shit, what would it feel like? What a scary thing. Well, good luck to Mrs. French.
Yeah.
Yep.
The newly Mrs. French.
Yes.
Anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in. It's been another great ep, and we'll see you next time, or we'll see you on Patreon.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say?
Get hotter.
Yeah. Yeah. And Luke will be on the Today Show next week to apologize for the prolapsed asshole on Project incident.
Bye-bye now.